So I should say that I prepared actually this talk for sort of another conference in a week, which is mathematics conference. So this is really mathematics talk. Sorry about that. But yeah, let me see. So plan of the talk, this talk consists of two parts. The first part is based on joint project with Chris Elliott, who was fellow graduate student at Northwestern, but started his postdoc job at IHES this year. So I want to start with introduction, and then say some things about some technical underpinning of our work in terms of derived simplex geometry, and then actually mention our work on this supersymmetric gauge theory and how it's related to geometry Langmuir. The second part is work in progress. I will try to do basically the same thing, but with less detail. And I'm going to explain the sort of the main part of the talk. I should say that the plan is, my talk is going to be 45 minutes. That's the time I got assigned. So I will try to make it. I expect.
You can stretch it to an hour and a half.
Yeah, right. Right, so. <advice. laughs> So certainly I can sort of say more after the talk. But I think for this talk, as I prepared, I wouldn't spend actually too much time on the second part. But we'll see. OK, I want to start with an introduction of geometry Langmuir. Everything is over C. So we start with two inputs, like compact Riemann surface and a group G, for example, GLN or SLN, and it's dual groups. Dual group GLN is GLN, and dual group SLN is PGLN. And actually, GLN case is already interesting, so you wouldn't lose much by just thinking of GLN. And this geometry Langmuir correspondence says that there exists an equivalence between two categories. One can just associate to these two inputs. And more precisely, there is conjecture called best of conjecture by Dreifeld and Bellinson, which reads as this. I can just read it. D modules on one G of sigma is equivalent to quasi-coherent sheaves on flat G check of sigma. So one G of sigma is a name of space. This space is moduli space of G bundles on sigma, given compact Riemann surface. And flat G check of sigma is moduli space of flat G check bundles on sigma, just flat connections. And D mod is, as I said, D modules. And I'm thinking of the category of D modules on this space. And on the other side, it is category of quasi-coherent sheaves on this other space, flat G check. I mean, understanding the details of like what they are is like not too important for my talk. But I want to give some remark on the conjecture. So first of all, the conjecture is actually known to be wrong as soon as G is non-abelian. And Arinkin and Gaisri in 2012 actually made a conjecture which is not wrong, not obviously wrong. And like that's kind of really recent work. I mean, the geometry Langmuir was around like for, I don't know, 30 years, about 30 years in a way. But like recently, we now have a conjecture. But I don't think I have time to discuss a lot about that, but I think I'm going to mention a bit about this conjecture. Another remark, this geometry Langmuir is, I mean, it has origin in the Langmuir program. The Langmuir program is kind of the number theoretic thing. And in that language, the left-hand side is what is called automorphic side, and the right-hand side is what is called Galois side. And interesting thing about this equivalence in the Langmuir program is, let me just say, like I don't really expect everyone to understand, but it should be not just kind of the set theoretical equivalence. It is supposed to preserve, like respect a lot of other structures. For instance, what is called L function. The left-hand side has its L function, right-hand side has its own L function, and they should be the same, which means that what is called Frobenius eigenvalue and Hecke eigenvalues are the same on these sides. And in order to make sense of that, like you need to actually talk about some additional symmetry and their exists, something like that in our geometry Langlands program as well. But I don't want to discuss that today. The next remark, I just wanted to throw some a mnemonic for the conjecture. Bundle G is space of bundle, vector bundles. D modules, if you think about what a D module is just kind of a bundle with a flat connection or sheaf with flat connection. But let's just assume that that's a bundle with flat connection. So then the left-hand side just reads as a category of flat bundles on space of bundles. And on the right-hand side, this quasi-coherent sheaf, whatever that is, it is kind of a version of vector bundles. So if you try to read it in this way, in this naive way, it should read as the category of vector bundles on space of flat bundles. So this position of flats are kind of mysterious part in this kind of program. So this is the nature of this equivalence. Okay? Any questions? So I want to talk about this famous work of Kapust and Witten, where they claim that S-duality on these gauge theories gives rise to a version of this geometry Langlands correspondence. First of all, they say such a gauge theory with a given group G admits a topological twist parameterized by P1. And coupled with a coupling constant, it actually, this CP1 parameter determines TQFT. So from now on, I'm going to say GC to stand for a particular 4D TQFT, which is realized as a topological twist of 4D N equal 4 supersymmetric gauge theory. And second, under this twist, this S-duality is identifying those 4D theories like this. Gauge group G with parameter C is identifying with the gauge theory with G check with parameter minus 1 of C at the quantum level. And the third part, this is 4D theory. And if you do compactification along sigma, which I think of as a compact Riemann surface, as I said before, this equivalence, in particular, I'm kind of thinking of particular value, 0 and infinity, to mean particular sort of elements of CP1. And they show that it is actually becoming some p-duality between these two things. And by this notation, what I mean is that it is going to be, so first of all, it is compactification of 4D theory along this compact Riemann surface. So it is going to be 2D theory. And this 2D theory, I claim that it is going to be A model with this target, cotangent bundle of bond G, also known as Higgs moduli. And on the right-hand side, I'm saying that it is becoming actually B model with this flat moduli space. Then a version of homological mirror symmetry would be saying that A brains on this T star bond G should be equivalent to B brains on flat G check. And they argue that A brains of this T star bond G is D modules on bond G. And it is kind of well known that B brains on flat G, B brains on Calabi-Yau manifold is kind of the category of coherent sheaves. So, but quasi-co is kind of close enough. So in this way, you are getting something that looks like geometry Langlands correspondence. This is kind of rough outline. Any question? Yeah. So I want to explain what we aim to do before talking about like actual work. So what do we want? So first of all, I want to understand this work in a mathematical way. And for that, actually, there is actually really interesting interview with Witten from this Kyoto Prize. And there, I think he said something like, he was certainly very frustrated by like mathematicians like not really getting their points. Like no mathematician understand like what they are doing, although Witten himself believes that it's like really important thing. And regarding that, he said like I felt like I discovered the meaning of life and couldn't explain it. So one goal is we want to explain the meaning of life. So by that I want to give some mathematical understanding of this their work. Second point is capturing algebraic structures. So, you know, mathematicians were maybe not too excited about, I mean, they were excited because it's interesting work, but they were not too excited about Kapustin and Witten's work because physicists, like, as it is set up, it's only to see topological dependence on sigma, whereas this geometric Langlands correspondence is an algebraic statement. So D modules on Bon G and this flat G check, they are like really depending on algebraic structure of sigma. But as it's set up, because it's kind of involving topological twisting procedure, it's not really capturing this algebraic structure. So for instance, once you're thinking of these A-brains, and at least in the usual way, it doesn't really capture algebraic structure. And in their framework of this kind of, maybe actually in physics, flat G and this log G, where this log G is really character stack, like the representation of pi 1, they are kind of indistinguishable. But that's not going to be, once we are using this kind of the equivalence, it's not going to see the interesting part of geometric Langlands. So what I'm saying is that experts in geometric Langlands were like not really happy with Kapustin and Witten because they knew this physics way of approaching the program is actually not going to give this kind of subtle part. It's not going to be say something about subtle part. And yeah, I think Witten was pretty frustrated by that. But our claim is that we are going to capture these algebraic structures by trying to understand this Kapustin-Witten theory in a more like mathematically rigorous way and in a slightly different way. And another thing is in this geometric Langlands, I mean, there are a lot of progress in geometric Langlands, but I claim that from this point of view of like physics, I think we are finding some structure which even experts in geometric Langlands didn't really know. So I'm just saying that this, they are kind of thinking, I think what these experts in geometric Langlands are doing is basically from two-dimensional perspective. But if you think of in terms of this 4D perspective, it seems to give some new things. But I don't think I'm going to talk about that. Okay, so now it starts with technical introduction. So before there are any questions, so kind of the interesting story part is gone. So so any, okay. But maybe this part is okay. So field theory, you start with space-time manifold, a space of fields, and action functioner. And you know, you need to solve this equation's motion to get this critical locus. And as an example, you have Chern-Simons theory, where you have three manifolds as a space-time, one forms as a space of fields, and action functioner given in this way. Then you can solve this equation's motion to get these flat connections. which is local systems on M. And yeah, here really comes some fancy things. So I want to, because our language is like really using this subject of derived algebraic geometry, I need to do some introduction to that. This is really technical subject. So I won't be able to really explain the details, but I just wanted to explain the idea or, yeah. But first of all, I want to say, like, I want to introduce some of the main characters in this subject. So for that, I first note that a scheme is a functor from rings to sets. But I wonder if this makes sense to physicists. Does it? Let's see. Yeah, I wasn't expecting physicists to come, so. let's see. So, but by scheme, I just mean some polynomial equations. So, I don't know, say x squared plus y squared minus 1 being 0. Then by this functor, what I mean is that whenever you give up, say, field, like R, then you're just solving this equation in this field R. So you are getting a circle. Whereas if you put, say, C as a ring, then you are solving this equation and you are getting some somewhat different set. And that sort of thing is exactly what I mean by this functor. It's just assignment. Whenever you have a field, say, you're just solving that equation there. That's what this functor is doing. Does that make sense?
So it doesn't have to be a field, but it's just a ring.
Sorry?
It doesn't have to be a field,
it can be
a ring.
Yeah, it's ring, yes. But I think idea is the same. You have addition and multiplication, then you can solve polynomial equations. Okay. And a derived stack is by definition a functor from these derived rings to derived sets. And this derived, I can mean several different things, but I didn't sort of prepare for physicists, so what should I say? So first of all, derived sets you can just think of as a topological space. So derived, whenever you see derived, you can think of that as a simplicial, which maybe doesn't make sense to you, but it is derived sets. You can think of it as topological space. And derived rings, it is some kind of the rings, but with additional structure. Like the you are allowed to have some chain complex as opposed to just kind of a vector space.
That's a differential
data thing. That's right. Is it allowed thing to say to physicists?
It's a theorist, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, yeah. Okay, it's a commutative differential graded algebra with particular degrees. That's right.
So instead of an equation,
would
you have
it? Sorry?
So the scheme was an equation.
So it is still some kind of equations, but you are, it's a gluing of equations, but somehow this gluing is a little more subtle. I'm going to say actually a bit more about sort of the philosophy of this, right, algebraic geometry.
Equations which are two modulo.
Yeah, you are solving equations up to something. But you are gluing in the same way. That part is the same. Right.
What are derived sets?
Derived sets are topological space.
Why did you get the topology?
Sorry?
So you get a topology after? No,
I mean, sets, I mean, in a sense, yes, but it's kind of discrete topology.
Okay. And last time we get the set continuous.
Right.
Do you have an example?
Yes. So any scheme or stack is a derived stack. Just because our rings are derived rings and sets are derived sets. And a group void is derived sets. And for a given reductive group, this classifying stack BG is a derived stack. I'm just using, I mean, just mentioning this example because that example is going to be important.
I was hoping for an actual equation.
I think you are going to see something like that later, yes.
And for the defining choice of the ball.
Sorry? Sorry, can you say it again? That's right. I mean, like, just I mean, this is category of topological spaces. Yeah.
The idea is maybe that these are like the outputs are like the space of maps. So the input is like the rings are like functions on some space, and then the output set or topological space is like the space of maps to this stack or scheme that you're trying to describe.
I read
an example because this will send a point to the topological space called BG.
Mm-hmm.
You will read that in a topology textbook.
Yeah, that's right.
This fundamental group is G.
Mm-hmm. Right. I realize that actually I'm going much slower than I thought. Maybe I should fill up the 1.5 hour. we'll see.
So, for the case of BG, if I give you some random derived ring, how do I get the topological space using BG?
You are going to consider sort of the basically G bundles on that derived set, derived rings, derived space, whatever that means, and you have because you have kind of the automorphism. This automorphism is going to be some kind of the understood as a topological space.
Particularly the one sets.
Yeah.
So is it wrong to say that BG of a ring is like you take the there's a thing that takes in any chain to any BG ring, writes down the group of G was like G on it, so you could write down n by n matrices with coefficients in that ring, in that DG ring,
mm-hmm.
and build out space out of, where you know, kind of classifying space of that group, and that'll be a first approximation.
Yeah. Or it's like G bundles on the space whose function is that.
Right. The next example. So whenever you have whenever you have space, you can take say cotangent bundle, but here you can take shifted cotangent bundle, which is defined in this way, and this TX stands for a fancy derived version of tangent space, and it is chain complex, so you can take this shifting. You're just shifting by minus n. Then you do the same procedure. And I'm just defining that to be a shifted cotangent bundle in this manner, and claim that it is a derived stack. Next example. Another good thing about this subject of derived algebraic geometry is that a topological space is naturally an object in this derived stack. I mean, the algebraic geometry is really about, I mean, you might think that that's about just polynomials. But in this manner, topological space is also an object in the following way. Whenever you have this S, you're thinking of these maps to this topological space. And the procedure is that you just forget about S and skipping M. That's what I mean by Betty stack. And the next thing is this mapping stack. So whenever you have a derived stack, you can just define this just in this way. Whenever you have this kind of the derived rings, you're just thinking of maps in this way. So I want to explain what I can say about classical field theory in terms of this derived algebraic geometry. And for that, I need to explain sort of the philosophy of derived algebraic geometry. And that is, don't believe in equalities. So what I mean by that is, whenever you see equality in the, like anywhere, somehow you shouldn't just use that. You should think of that as up to homotopy or something. So for example, in classical field theory, you need to solve this D as being zero, but you need to solve that in a derived way in the subject. So assuming this space of fields were just kind of the manifold, this DS being zero can be understood as an intersection of zero section in cotangent bundle and this graph of this DS. That's what one could mean by this DS being zero. But in the derived world, we are just taking this derived tensor product. Yeah. Sorry? What?
In your final topology, there is on the left.
But it's okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. Thanks. Yeah. And one can actually show that this derived critical locus is looking in this way, shifted cotangent bundle, as I defined before, with some non-trivial differential. And actually, you can just find the resolution in a like really easy way if S is zero, because OX is has this presentation. So basically what I said so far is that in this TOEIC example at least, the derived critical locus is something like minus one shifted cotangent bundle together with some non-trivial differential. That's all I said.
So this keeps track of obstructions to solving equations of motions.
Every such information is kind of encoded. Yeah, even if the things are like, yeah, basically the thing I wrote here is when S is zero, I'm just solving this like OX tensor OX in this kind of non-transversal intersection, but I'm keeping track of all this information. So. But the claim is that I'm not losing any information for given S.
Yeah, that's the limit. So when S is equal to zero, you're saying the answer would be is O of the shifted tangent bundle.
Yes. Okay. So derived simplex geometry says that something similar happens for like bigger generality, and for that, I want to mention this definition. These guys define this. I mean, definition is maybe not the most important part of the work, but still it is an important thing. Symplectic structure is a closed two-form non-degenerate. And I'm defining n-shifted symplectic structure to be such thing, but with this shift. This tx is tangent complex, and lx is dual of that is what is called cotangent complex. So again, I should give an example. Scheme is zero shifted symplectic if and only if it is symplectic in the usual sense. So it's, I guess, believable. I mean, if it were not true, then this is not a good definition. For a derived stack, you know, cotangent bundle, I mean, for any space, cotangent bundle is symplectic. In the same way here, for a derived stack, a shifted cotangent bundle is n-shifted symplectic. Also believable, I think. On the next example, this classifying space BG, I claim it is two-shifted symplectic. This tangent complex of BG, one can just compute that as a Lie algebra G shift by 1. So 2 is the right shifting once you think of this non-degenerate symmetric invariant bilinear form, like Killing form. So BG is 2 shifting symplectic. This is basically the only non-trivial example I'm going to use as an input on this whole story.
So about the clues page still.
Huh?
About the clues page, can I ask?
Yeah.
So is it, should I just think about this as formalizing the formalism?
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly.
So there are semantic fields.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I mean, this kind of the that's right. The cotangent direction is exactly anti fields and.
So they shift the cotangent bundle is the fields and the anti fields.
That's right. Cotangent fibers are exactly anti fields. And if X were, I mean, this X could be kind of the with gauge symmetry, in which case, or again, this T star fiber is going to be anti ghosts of that. Yeah. Okay. So in this kind of symplectic geometry setting, I should talk about Lagrangian, but I'm not going to define Lagrangian, at least not yet, and I'm just going to give an example. So again, for a smooth scheme, the symplectic scheme, embedding is Lagrangian if and only if this is Lagrangian in the usual sense. And for cotangent bundle, of course, zero section is Lagrangian. So in the same way, zero section is Lagrangian is shifted cotangent bundle. And also for cotangent bundle, like conormals are always Lagrangian. In the same way, conormals are Lagrangian. And on the other hand, BG doesn't admit Lagrangian in general. And theorem of PTVV is that whenever you have two Lagrangians sitting inside, I mean, sorry, it's not necessarily sitting inside. I shouldn't have said that. I was trying to hide some technical things, but anyway, if you consider two Lagrangians of n-shifted symplectic space, and you take Lagrangian intersection, then it admits n minus one shifted symplectic structure. It is just a theorem, but it is important because I have this example. This right critical locus was defined in this way, and F is certainly Lagrangian in this zero-shifted symplectic thing. Graph is Lagrangian in this zero-shifted symplectic thing. So this Lagrangian intersection is minus one shifted symplectic, just by a theorem in a bigger context. Doesn't necessarily need to be like smooth manifold fine things. It could be quite large now. There is another way to produce this n-shifted symplectic structures. M orientation is the data of a fundamental class. Let me just give an example. So for a closed-oriented D manifold, your fundamental class is understood as having D orientation. And for a smooth proper scheme of dimension D, the Dolbeau step. So here comes a point. So in derived geometry, your structure shift doesn't need to be just kind of the functions. So by Dolbeau's tag, you should think of this as an X together with the structure shift being the drum forms. If you think of that way, then this fundamental class of X is understood as having 2D orientation, just because in terms of like cohomology class, it is behaving like two-dimensional object. Just if you think of complex points of your given scheme, it is two-dimensional objects. And Drumstack is corresponding to once you turn on the drum differential of your drum forms, that's your structure shift. And with that, you also have two-dimensional 2D orientation. Just because drum cohomology for this smooth proper scheme of dimension D has this fundamental class of dimension 2D. The reason I was setting this up is because of this theorem. The claim is that if you consider this mapping stack, as I defined before, and if X is oriented and Y is shifted, then this mapping spec is automatically shifted. So I guess this is just hard to understand without example. So let me give an example. So if I consider this closed oriented D manifold, then this mapping stack from MB to BG, remember MB was just kind of the thing which ignores any derived rings. And I'm defining this as a log G. this is just 2 minus d shift is symplectic. The numerology is that n was 2 and m is 2, d. So in the same way, I define this flat G as a mapping stack, and it is 2 minus 2d shift is symplectic. And Higgs G is, again, 2 minus 2d shift is symplectic.
Beginning, you're complaining that log G has a different analytic stack from flat.
That's right.
From flat. Okay, so then they're different.
That's like really different here, right?
Yes.
It's really just depending on topology of M, whereas this is like really skinned theoretical object. So it's really different. That's the point I wanted to sort of emphasize. Thanks for the question. It was emphasized. And I want to say that. This is actually giving an example of this classical field theory in the following manner. 1D theory, this topological quantum mechanics can be understood as this sort of mapping stack. Like you can just assign a circle or point to get equations motion at that point. And a B model can be understood in this way for Calabi-Yau and Ford. And Chern-Simons can be understood in this way.
Huh? I said maybe it's topological classical mechanics.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Thanks. And maybe I should skip this part.
There's time.
I don't think everyone is appreciating my talk, so maybe for you I can go back to the slides, but So this work I did with Chris is basically trying to understand this Kapus-Witten theory in this algebraic framework. So first of all, we need to introduce this kind of algebraic classical field theory, where spacetime just can be an algebraic variety, not a smooth manifold. And we need to be able to make sense of twisting in this kind of algebraic setting. And twisting, I mean, this was slide for a mathematician. Twisting is if you have this kind of the Lie algebra action on this equation's motion, you're just picking up a particular element, fermionic element, and you're basically taking some invariant after some twisting. And by twisting, certainly one is getting a much smaller sector. You are only seeing some smaller sector. So for instance, if you do what is called this topological twist, then the resulting guy is only going to depend on topology of your manifold, your space-time. That's what happens with topological twisting. And Kapus-Witten said that one has to consider two particular twists, this A twist and B twist. I mean, named it in this way because it is going to be A model and B model after computification. And they are two of these P1 many topological twists of the theory. On the other hand, these are really topological theory. And like, in order to see these algebraic structures in a manifest way, we need to compute some middle step, which is holomorphic twist, which is the minimal twist admitting the algebraic description, and then realize this A twist and B twist as a further twist. So here comes the first main theorem. Once you compute holomorphic twist of this N equal 4, you can put this smooth proper complex algebraic surface, and that is going to be this shifted cotangent bundle of Higgs moduli. That is just a theorem. You can just forget about this formal part, like if you don't know what that means. So this is just theorem. Like whenever the content, basically what I'm saying is that equations motion on this particular complex algebraic surface, if you solve that, that is going to be this particular minus one shifted symplectic structure, structured space. I mean, as I said before, you should expect minus one shifted symplectic thing, but claim is that it is this particular form, like EG form, which is like minus one shifted cotangent bundle without any twist.
Just make sure expandable surface means to get a bundle and an adjoining one form.
I define Higgs G of X to be mapping stack from X door to BG.
Okay. It's what you said.
Okay.
Yeah. Five.
Yeah, that's true.
On a surface, does it end up being the same thing?
Right. I think. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. And to put the theorem in a context, I just notice equivalences. So minus one shifted cotangent bundle. I mean, as I said, Higgs moduli is defined to be mapping stack. And by this PTVV theorem, this mapping stack is minus two shifted symplectic. And that's why this T star minus one is identified with T of one. And again, T of one of something is defined to be durable stack or whatever that object. So I can just write in this way, mapping stack from X door to BG, durable stack of that.
The fact that X door is oriented is like the word proper.
Sorry?
You're using the X door as oriented. Is that the word proper? Is that what is the X door oriented?
Sorry, I mean X. I mean, is this X door can be just defined for any X?
I agree, but the second equality.
Use the Oh, yeah. That part is thing. That's right. Yeah. Smooth proper. Yes.
Okay.
That's right. In order to use this PTVV theorem. That's correct. And I'm just writing this as an equation of motion of holomorphic. And there are two natural deformations. You know.
Can I ask this? Do you have a way of doing this equation locally in X?
Which. These equations,
yeah.
It's not. I mean, it's not going to work like in the way as written because of orientation thing, as you said.
But I mean, do you have another sort of way of doing it?
I think so. Yeah. Right. X turbo was kind of the structure shift was this drum forms, and I could turn on this drum differential to make it as a drum stack. So natural question is that. What are these deformations? And the next theorem gives an answer. They are exactly corresponding to A twist and B twist. So we have these two doors, and A twist is making the outer door to drum, and B twist is making the inner door to drum. That's a theorem. And I want to say that in the mnemonic, you have this flatness. You have asymmetry of flatness. And that's exactly corresponding to this asymmetry of drum. And also, these are, And this topological twisting, I mean, you might be worried that like result of topological twist is like not topological. But if you think about like what Witten did, what they say is that these translations are acting trivially on this flat space. And that much is captured already by this drum stack. I mean, I can give formal definition of drum stack, but drum stack is exactly doing such a thing. I mean, that's like what is called crystalline in mathematical literature. But I claim that in this kind of algebraic framework, really this kind of the notion of topological twisting can be captured in this kind of drum stack.
They still depend on the algebraic structure.
Huh?
They still
exactly. So X drum of BG, as I defined as a flat G of X. So it really see the relevant algebraic structure for geometric Langlands. And this for the A side, this drum is whatever it is. It is whenever you think of some kind of vector bundle on this drum stack, you are going to see D module. So you don't need to think of any kind of Fukaya type categories. You're just going to see D modules without doing any such thing. So I claim that these are kind of solving those two sort of issues on topological dependence. It is really algebraic and seeing the relevant algebraic structure for the original geometric Langlands program.
I mean,
you
make the second, somehow, when you solve these gauge theory equations, there is a bit of algebra X.
Huh?
So this algebra X actually is about the space. This
algebra structure depending on your Lyman surface.
But also on the fields themselves.
Yes.
On the fields themselves, what does that mean?
I mean, the algebra structure is on the modular solutions of the equation.
When you say the flat connection is not the same as local system,
mm-hmm.
is the complaint about think about functions of polynomials of the connection versus polynomials of the holonomies?
Yeah.
But is it also about the algebra X actually the Lyman surface itself or not?
Yeah.
Different Riemann surfaces will have different, they'll have the same spaces of local systems, but
right.
different, if I change the Riemann surface,
they're going to have different algebraic structures.
Well, changing Riemann surface means changing the complex structure.
If I change the complex structure.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. Any other questions? So
essentially,
I'm
you don't want to think about the local system of the Riemann surface, you want to think about the modules of the Riemann surface.
Yeah, flat connections, yes. Mm-hmm. Right. And according to Kapus-Mitten, we need to do this compactification. So we write this X in this manner. And then this is the equation of motion of B model on this X. And the first equality here is just how I define this mapping step. Has some adjunction, and that adjunction is making this to be true. And because as Theo pointed out, this is kind of oriented thing, this thing also can move inside here. So I'm getting this expression. And I said this B model description for any Calabi-Yau is actually of this form. So from this, you can see that actually I did get a B model with target flat G.
How about this subtlety? C to RAM versus CD.
Thanks. So, sure. Yeah, modulo that thing. So, there are things to be said. So, this four dimensional theory, as I said, is like this four dimension, if I think of this four as 2 plus 2, this two is drum and these two other two is also drum. There is very, very story, which I think in mathematical literature, David Bensby and David Nether are kind of pursuing. That's kind of also an interesting story. But I think in order to see this Arrhenius-Gauss-Gray style or like even going back to Dreyfus or Bennigsen, start kind of geometric Langlands, you need to consider this very drawn version of this kind of field theory interpretation.
I mean, I've told you, you do expect something fun. The extra fields in the four-dimensional gauge theory play some role in some situation.
Yes.
When the people are any sitting at singularities.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So do you think this would take that into account? So the difference between CD RAM and CD
So they are going to be really different.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, somehow all the statements, like mathematical statements I can sort of extract is actually, at least I need to make the C direction very. I mean, in order to get any sort of categorical statement,
mm-hmm.
I just don't know.
You could have written that whole equation, replace sort of finding, changing C to RAM by C that all the way through, and you'd still have those equations.
Yeah.
Right.
The model and not the derivative.
Mm-hmm. Right.
If you take X to be sort of C Betty cross sigma Duran, then do your previous results kind of does everything.
Kind of sorry, again? What do you mean?
All of the previous equalities that you had so far, you just kind of have X Duran floating around.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of wanted to make this replacement
where you sort of put C Betty cross sigma Durand, which is in the place of X
Durand.
That's
what you're saying here, but all of the previous work that you did before this,
mm-hmm.
all of that sort of also worked out with this replacement.
Yes,
so
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
All it matters is about orientation, and they have the same orientation data, so, and it's dimension wise, so it works out. It is just like it's like less motivated. Otherwise, it's okay. Mathematically, it's okay. Mathematician can do anything which is not wrong.
This is the only things that are bad.
So, I just maybe this is not important. So the second part is like really the half. Like it's I didn't even intend to, but so the second part, I want to say that there are many different Langlands dualities in this geometric representation theory. First of all, this Fagin-Frankel duality between isomorphism of this W algebras and Gates-Lurie equivalence between some equivalence of categories for representation of quantum groups and what is called Whittaker category. And another thing is this quantum geometry Langlands. And the claim is that they are all kind of can be seen in a single picture, and it is just one instance of this S duality. So let's see. So let me just read. If you have any questions, please ask. But somehow I don't really expect people to understand just as from this. These equations motions are supposed to be minus one shift symplectic. But if M is not a closed manifold, if it has a boundary, then it is not true. However, if you consider this Lagrangian, any Lagrangian for this equation motion of boundary thing, which by the way is a phase space of theory, then you can just decide to consider such a fiber product, equation motion times equation motion of boundary and this this Lagrangian.
What was B?
B is any Lagrangian. I'm going to give an example later. So what I mean to say here is that this equation motion, being a phase space, has its own shift, own symplectic structure, zero shifted symplectic structure. And these are Lagrangians. So by this PTVV theorem on this Lagrangian intersection, it is actually going to be minus one shifted symplectic. For that reason, I'm saying that whenever you have a manifold with a boundary, non-trivial boundary, you need to pick a Lagrangian inside this phase space to make sense of that configuration as a classical field theory. So that's the motivation for this definition. Classical boundary condition is just a Lagrangian in this phase space. And as an example, Chern-Simon theory, this flat boundary, if this is a phase space, then I could be choosing the cotangent fiber or opals. So these are examples of boundary conditions. And what do I mean by Lagrangian here in this derived symplectic geometry? First of all, Lagrangian is kind of the, what is it called, maximal isotropic. So whenever you have a map from F to F, from L to X, this symplectic form, if restricted to this L, it is going to be zero, right? So that's the definition, except that you shouldn't believe in equalities. F star omega being zero should be understood as a with homotopy. So when I say isotropic, it is a homotopy between these two things. F star omega is not exactly zero, but opto homotopy, and this homotopy is additional data of isotropic structure. once you have that, then you can just consider by some functorial procedure, you are going to have such a map. It's kind of the composition. And because this was homotopic to zero, this whole composition is homotopic to zero, and giving a homotopy commutative square here. Meaning that TL, 0, LLN is same as just this composition up to homotopy. And isotropic structure is Lagrangian if the square is homotopy pullback square. This is kind of the maximality condition of, basically that means that the dimensions are like adding up to the dimension of X. Okay? And the reason I sort of make a definition of this is that once this F is Lagrangian, then if you think about this, if this is homotopy square, then in the usual language of, say, triangulated category, that means that this is going to be forming a, what is it called? Exact triangle? I'm not sure whether that's the right word. But anyway, you are going to have this triangle. And then you know that as a fact that it admits a map connecting homomorphism from this ln of n to TL of 1, just like here. And I claim that this is corresponding to Poisson bracket of degree n minus 1. So in particular, if I have Lagrangian inside zero shifted symplectic object, I'm going to have P0 structure. And if it satisfies a locality condition like as required in quantum field theory, then we think of this as an anomalous field theory. And the claim is that one can develop a theory of observables based on the work of Kevin and Owen. So I've been doing work with Dylan, sitting there, developing some theories there. And we show some things. In particular, Kapus-Witten theory is closely related to Chern-Simons theory. Maybe I won't elaborate on this universal property theory part because that's not so important. Also with other guys, I'm studying this Chern-Simons W correspondence in a mathematically rigorous way. I don't know how to prove that,
okay.
But in this kind of our setting, like in perturbative, I mean, Kevin setting, like I think we are.
I entirely agree that the top paragraph is kind of morally true, but I don't know what the current status is.
Mm-hmm. You should ask Popper.
It's the actual
right.
Is it in that generality? In this generality? Like any Lagrangian in like any n shift is symplectic, and
yeah.
I see. That's good.
That to various people. I just didn't know he was writing it down.
Who's claiming to?
Me?
Oh, Nick.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And one can make sense of the similar thing in this with corner, not just boundary. And there, this is my notation for corner. If you take equation one corner, it is going to be one shifted symplectic. And for chosen boundary conditions, in the same way, you're going to see that the Lagrangian intersection is going to be zero shifted symplectic. So Lagrangian intersection inside one shifted symplectic object. So once you choose a Lagrangian, it will define a corner field theory.
Seems like B1 and B2 should be called corner conditions, not boundary conditions.
Oh, B1 and B2 are boundaries. I mean, maybe I should draw a picture. Yeah. This is where B1 lives. This is where B2 lives. And this is where Lagrangian lives. And this is Spark theory. This one shift is symplectic. And I'm going to give an example. So on the bulk, I basically did everything after compactification along sigma, and I'm sort of suppressing this notation sigma. And Kapus-Witten twist can be written in this way. If you followed my compactification slide, then it is basically this, except that there I didn't talk about this level and the claim. I mean, I was having before, like the work with Dylan, this Tron-Simon theory is exactly corresponding to Kapus-Witten theory for a given level and a particular twisting. And it is appearing in this manner. So these Kapus-Witten twists are bulk theory. It is defining a bulk theory. And Tron-Simon theory is a boundary theory in this manner. And there is another boundary theory, I think, physicists call like non-pore boundary conditions, but I mean it is going to be a theory, just so I just named it as a Whitaker field theory. And at the intersection, you are going to this Lagrangian intersection is going to be basically twisted cotangent bundle of opals. So these opals are this is going to be, I think, the unique Lagrangian you can choose in such a way that it is compatible with any C. Right. And it is well known to physicists that as duality is acting on the configuration by changing these kind of the groups and changing Tron-Simon theory and Whitaker field theory, and duality is supposed to identify physically meaningful objects, of course. And I claim that at least this 2D part, at the level of algebra observers, it is going to recover this Fagan-Frankel duality. And for this Tron-Simons and Whitaker field theory, it is going to recover this equivalence of line defects. And this category boundary condition is going to recover this quantum geometry Langlands. And remark I want to make is that this can be, I mean, I work with some generic level, but this can be extended to other level, like what's called critical level. And somehow, kind of thinking of that seems to give some idea of the part of the proof of proposed proof of geometry Langlands by Gaiskoi. So that's an interesting story. And another thing I want to say is that there are many other known cases how SRT acts on the boundary conditions by Davide and Edward and Davide. So which means that this was just one instance of S-duality, and looks like that's recovering a lot of Langlands dualities in geometric representation theory. And, I mean, even in this setting, like there are a lot more things to be said. Like they should be compatible in some way, and I'm not sure whether that's known to mathematicians. But the claim is that, like whenever Davide told me like one particular kind of configuration of S-duality, maybe I can try to do this kind of thing, and then maybe do a lot more. And like I think we have like a lot of infinite supply of those things. So, yes. So it's going to be exciting, I think. So, okay, so the last slide. Right, algebraic geometry helps. Can develop framework for boundary theories. And this gives Langlands dualities. And Davide's idea is back to be investigated further. Thank you.
More questions for